You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Treasure Coast. This is Sita McGee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over God's magnificent planet if you could connect to the WW World Wide Web.
Very good, Sita.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that stands for. Yeah. Very good.
Yes.
Here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, this is our 15th and a half year. Is that even a thing? Right here on 1510 WWBC. We're also heard on 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we share all of the downloads, which last week, for the show last week, we got 17,200 downloads from last week's show. So congratulations. It was a great one. Every week is the same. We share it on our social media sites as well as our website, SitaMediaInc.com.
Right. And I tell you, you could just say to Alexa, play Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and it plays it.
Isn't that amazing?
And this morning I said, Alexa, I'm preparing a show about burns and charcuterie, and I got quite a history about it. And Alexa says, Sita, you're really doing a fabulous job on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I'm like, why do I have a friend in AI?
It's okay. It's all right. Wow. It's better to have it that way than the
and
other way.
And then I'm leaving the house and she says, have a great day, Sita.
Nice.
Break a leg on your show. Anyways, well, listeners, we're tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. It's difficult to get really good quality guests on our show because everyone is so busy. But I somehow, I have this divine intervention, and I have to say that the good Lord always sends me great people to be on a show. And we have a fun here on Mondays. Ellen O'Neill is my co-host. Last week we had Maggie Hickson co-hosting. Allie Tambor is a friend of Ellen's, and she sits with us and cheers us on. Danny runs our board. And our show is fun. It's unscripted. It's very educational. And we really give out valuable information to our listeners. And like Ellen said, all over the world. And so when you tune in, it's just an hour of fun. It's like ladies sitting down to have coffee, but no coffee because Danny here will take the coffee away.
Right.
Because there's a big sign that says, don't eat in the studio. We listen. But anyways, today's guest is no different than the usual. My good friend, Vimery is here. Vimery, and your last name again?
Monopoly.
Look at that.
Like it sounds. Like it looks.
Vimery Monopoly. And we all know that game. And, you know, it's amazing. You came on the last time to speak about, I think it was Right Here in Town with
Aging Matters,
mm-hmm. right, with Tom, where Tom
yes.
works, right? And from there, when I contacted you, I wanted them to come back on. And you said you are now working with a charity
mm-hmm.
that is so near and dear to my heart that takes care of children in Latin America who are burn victims.
Yes.
And you are the fundraising advocate
yes.
for that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be on chatting with us on the first segment. And our second segment, I was on social media and I saw this lovely charcuterie board. And I reached out to 321, is it Cheese Boards 321?
Cheese Boards 321.
And it's Carolina. And we chatted for a little bit, and she wanted to know a little bit about the show and if she could come on. And after several emails back and forth, here she is. So Carolina is going to be chatting with us later about charcuterie boards. And everybody wants to know how to make that rose with the sausage thing.
Oh, yeah. I have workshops for that.
That's right.
Yeah. But our first segment, we're going to start with our good friend, Vimery. You know, what an interesting job you have, and also very heartbreaking
mm-hmm.
because you have to have a lot of compassion and empathy for the children. And like we were saying, give our listeners a little bit about the statistics in some of these countries of the children who are burn victims.
So first of all, thank you so much for having me again. I do want to say that, you know, Aging Matters is a wonderful local organization that's feeding our seniors here. So I didn't want to, you know, miss that opportunity. But I've been blessed to, you know, to be able to use my skills and my voice and my experience to help connect people to organizations, right? And I always say that, I know we use the word nonprofits, but social impact organizations are there to fill the gap where, you know, government cannot fill, or, you know, companies want to see certain type of community, and we nonprofits are the tool that builds that community. So I feel very privileged and very blessed to use my time and my skills and my words to connect people to an organization like One Again.
Yeah. And so how did you find that job? Because
it found me.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It found me. Tom is going to hear this and be like, oh my gosh, this is the story when she left me. But no.
So, yeah, there's a different perspective.
There's a different
story,
perspective,
right?
Yeah, if you ask Tom. But no, Sita, I literally was at my office and I got, you know, you get all these recruitments and things through your social media sites, and I usually ignore them, but this caught my eye just like you, right? It kind of moved me, and to be honest with you, I am from Puerto Rico.
Yes.
So for me to be able to work alongside an organization that's helping kids in Latin America and the Caribbean, and for me to be able to, you know, speak not only English but my Spanish too, and use that. I bring it home. So it was also a great opportunity for me to not just be in a local organization, but, you know, work with a national board. And that's what we do. So just so your listeners know, Kwan Ikem is the organization based in Chile. I work alongside the board of directors of the Burn Children Foundation here in the United States. We have a board, you know, we have members throughout the country. And our job here is to align those donors and supporters with the work that Kwan Ikem does in Chile. They have four rehabilitation centers there. They're opening a fifth one now. And although the majority of the kids are kids from Chile, they bring kids from all Latin America and the Caribbean that need rehabilitation. I do want to say before we go deeper into your questions, and I know you're a nurse, so you probably can speak more eloquently about this than me, but everything that we're going to discuss today, from bringing the kids, treating the kids for years, many of them, because you probably know this, but, you know, the majority of kids that get burned before the year four, but some of them are going to require surgery and rehabilitation till they stop growing. So it can be 18, 19. So many of these kids spend, you know, their whole childhood and teen years visiting Kwan Ikem. All for free.
You need a lot of resources.
All for free.
To heal.
And this is at no cost.
Wow.
So
give us a website before we go further.
So if you want to see the English version, and I am working on that website, so check it out in 2 weeks. It'll be much better than if you check it out today. But the basic is there. Burnchildren.org is the English website that's going to help you see what Kwan Ikem does and how to support us. And if you speak Spanish, you can go to Kwan Ikem. And I know that sounds a little hard. I'm going to spell it, making sure that I don't leave a letter. C-O-A-N-I-Q-U-E-M. It stands for Corporación Ayuda a Niños Quemados. So Kwan Ikem. And it is important for me to let your listeners know that, and this is the easiest way and for you to see this. A child gets burned, let's say, in Honduras, and they go to the local hospital. They might do the, you know, initial treatment, but this is a severe case and they need to further surgeries and rehabilitation. Kwan Ikem will bring that kid to Chile with a parent, one of, you know, a mom or dad.
At no cost.
At no cost. They will live in Kwan Ikem in what we call Casa Abierta, which is our home, our house. So that they will stay there. They will receive their breakfast, their lunch, their dinner at no cost, and the snacks. The kids can receive and will receive support and education. We have a school that's accredited by the government of Chile. So the kids do not miss, you know, that so important. They don't get behind in school. We do have a chapel. It is open for everyone and all faith. So we are treating, you know, the skin, the mind, the heart, the soul, everything for these kids to accompany them throughout this journey. That was very important for Dr. Rojas, the founder, 47 years ago, and it's still at the center of what Quanicem does, which is make sure these kids can go back, you know, to their lives.
And I tell you, I bet you each of those children have a story to tell.
Absolutely.
You know, and how difficult it is, how emotionally traumatizing it is for these kids, but at the same time to know there are angels in Chile waiting for them to take care of them. Mm-hmm. So tell us about some of the victims and what seems to be the three top things that causes children to get burned, because I do have some that Alexa told me, but you know,
I know
some
well,
as well.
And Alexa was right.
Yeah.
AI was right, but to be, let's just start with the first one, which is just hot liquids.
Yes,
is the biggest thing is hot liquids. The majority of the burns happen in the hand, and usually for, you know, it's toddlers. It's kids who are less than 4 years old that maybe grab onto the coffee or. I'm going to date myself. Well, not date. I'm going to say my age right now. I am 52 years old. Thank you. I have a 23 and a 20-year-old. And even some things that I'm learning now about the whole world around burns and what to do and what to avoid, it was like, oh, okay. You know, so it is usually hot liquids. It is usually in the hand. It is usually young kids. And it's usually with adults right there in the room. So you know, it's just you turn around for a second and here they pull the tablecloth that you had and here comes all the tea or just something very simple and very big.
The pot, you know, I was saying before the show, my parents had 18 children,
yes.
Right? But my mom, bless her heart, she was so proactive.
Mm-hmm.
She anticipated every need from slipping and falling during the rainy season to cooking on a stove and putting the handle on the back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you hear stories of children who drowned in a swimming pool and you find out that adults was right there, and then you hear a child pull the hot pot down on a stove, boiling water, and the child, then you want to shake the adult. So is it fair to say that a lot of these things are caused by carelessness?
Unfortunately, yes. And that's why a big portion of Quanicem's resources and time, it goes to prevention, right? To educating the people. So we do have a cat, Santi the Cat. If you do go to the main website.
Ellen will pull that up.
It's a little curious cat. And actually, Quanicem just finished working with an Oscar winning company down in Chile. And they did these animations, short videos that kids can watch, and hopefully they educate their parents after watching these things, because many things, you know, again, the grilling, the hot liquid are things that is just, it's, I don't, I, actually, let me be careful with carelessness. I mean, they care for the kids, but
it's an accident.
It's a second. I'm going to give you a very, very real example for one of our board members right now. Pedro, who's a new board member and a supporter of Quanicem, was holding his two-year-old while he was cooking something on the front burner, not the back burner.
Not a very good
the
idea.
The front burner, right?
Yeah.
And he's holding. And then he turns for a nanosecond. He turned his back.
And the foot.
And the foot and the leg of the baby got burned, who he didn't even complain immediately. It was kind of a delay, you know, reaction. And all of a sudden, here comes. There's another part of that story is that when he took his son to what he thought was a top hospital in Seattle, they were not even at the level of knowledge, research
to treat the burn
that Quanicem is in Chile. So I also want your listeners to know that just because this is free and it's in Latin America, it's not just a little Band-Aid. This is top-notch, latest research. It is one. It's a recognized center around the world. They're actually leading right now the International Burn Society. Yeah. So it's a lot of great minds behind this work because, you know, like
I... But, and it's not as simple for listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. It's not as simple as the burn and then you get to the burn unit. Supplies, mm-hmm. emotional support, psychological support, where the parents going to stay. Mm-hmm. And I've put medication on burn victims before, and Silvadine is very expensive. Petroleum gel is expensive, whatnot. So talk to us a little bit. How is it Quantum?
Quantum.
Mm-hmm. How is it funded?
I'm so glad you asked about that too, because they're very proud of this. So, and again, BCF, Burn Children Foundation, is a foundation here. Think of it as a fundraising arm of people here in the United States that want to say, hey, count me in. We want to help, right? And obviously it's a 501c3, so you can deduct all that good stuff.
Right.
But Quantum in Chile, the majority of their funds, half of their funds, come from recurring donors that give literally $2, $3, $5 and all that, right? Quantum is well known and well respected in Chile, so people trust that. So that's the majority of the funds. Then about 25%, 30% comes from thrift stores, which I know it's very common for us here in the United States, but that wasn't a thing before Quantum came there.
Oh.
It wasn't a big thing. And our current president, Jorge, said, oh my gosh, we need to do this. So they have 24 stores throughout the country. And Chile is a very long country. Throughout the country, they have these 24 stores. So that obviously helps with the branding, putting the mission out there. So that's where that chunk of funds come. And then there's about 20% that comes from the government in the way of there's a social insurance, let's just say.
Do they get any foreign aid at all? Because I know we've cut back on foreign aid.
So a very small percentage is what BCF brings, right? Okay. And we're trying to make it more of an impactful funding. So, again, to make sure that, the operations, right, the rehabilitation, infrastructure, lasers, things like that are there. But also we want to bring more kids from Latin America, from outside of Chile. So BCF funds that directly. And BCF also funds bringing health professionals like you to training Quantum also for free. So that is something that we sponsor directly. If there's someone in Dominican Republic that wants to come to Chile and take this training so they can then share that in the Dominican Republic with better tools and better knowledge, we will bring them and train them for free.
So statistically, we're looking at 80,000 children in Chile and 3 million in Latin America. So what is the outreach that you all are doing to reach other countries in Latin America to let them know? Because, you know, it's heartbreaking. Sometimes I open the Trinidad and Tobago mm-hmm. Express or the Guardian, and a lot of the homes in Latin America, they're iron bars mm-hmm. on the doors and on the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, they have a gate.
Yes.
And then they have bad dogs.
Puerto Rico too.
Yeah, because the crime is so high, you know, and that's a whole show and another
day. That's another show.
Yeah. But you often hear of families dying from an accident in the home, right, mm-hmm. from burns. And then you might have a mother and father who died, but a child survived,
mm-hmm.
right? And that child need to be taken. Oh, mm-hmm. my God, I just thought of that. It's so heartbreaking. And so how do you do outreach to get those countries involved?
We work with local governments, right, in the different countries, other burn centers, other hospitals and things like that. Again, because of the 47 years history of Quantum and that prestige and reputation, it's a little easier. But there's so much work to be done. So to your point, education. In Chile, you cannot have, for example, fireworks. That law was signed in at Quantum. They did put, and please don't quote me in the exact verb, the way you say this, but there's a semi-law, I guess, or the format for a law that can be adopted by other countries, right, that is already there by Quantum. Now they're trying to get smoke detectors make it mandatory in new buildings, because that's not a thing in that's not a thing in Latin America,
that's
in the Caribbean.
Not a thing.
That's not a thing. So even things like that in I'll go now to the third thing we fundraise in BCF, which is research, right? Because you need the numbers and data in order for you to go to governments and say, here's the number, here's the data, we need legislation.
And it's very hard to change the behavior of a lot of people in those countries, because a lot of people just don't believe in regulations.
Yeah.
And it does work.
But it does.
It does.
It does.
Smoke detectors goes off and tells you, change your battery or there's a fire.
Or there's a fire.
Right? And so, I mean, how do we get, and it's just not in the United States or Latin America, but worldwide, we've got to do better with changing our behaviors. If someone tells you something for the betterment of humanity and society, for God in heaven's sake, give the people a hearing.
The people, you know? The people like me at 52 are not going to probably listen to you. And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of our education is going back to the kids, right? Working with teachers, working in schools, hopefully educating the next generation that can say, well, maybe I do need a smoke detector when I have my home, or, you know, or putting the pot on the back and trying to learn that way. It is the reason why, and this is all psychology, it is not the kids that are
the problem.
Problem is the cat that's curious, and the kids are there to teach the cat something they care about, so it's all, you know, hopefully
Ellen,
we'll get there.
Ellen, you could jump in here, right? Ellen is a musician. She sings all over the place. If you're at a fete or a party or an event and someone is drinking a beer or wine and they spill and it's on the floor and other people are going to be, common sense would tell the patrons where they grab some paper towels.
Oh, I run right off the stage.
Right, someone can fall, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
At some point, we have to stop caring for each other, right? So that you anticipate the moves, what's going to happen. You see a mother, a single mom in Chile or someplace with their fireside and they're cooking and cleaning. We've got to have resources to help people, too, because they are overwhelmed, like my daughter says, right?
Right, and these burns that you're talking about are situational things. You know, I come from a long line of firemen of, you know, house fires and so forth, and usually it's the elderly folks. You know, and even elderly could be considered after 60, which typically is not elderly to me, but that you forget about something that's on the stove, you know, and people are not even equipped with fire extinguishers in their homes. So even to help put something like that out. But you think about the times that you're trying to teach your kids how to cook. You know, I was burned making popcorn, you know, like, you know, little blisters or something like that. Nothing really bad. But people don't think about the end result, you know, like a lot of moms are out on the playground and they can see the kid climbing to the top of the jungle gym, right? And you get that that mom feeling.
Yes.
Well, with something with fires and with burns, I don't understand how it doesn't happen faster.
A lot of the Latin American countries do too. You call 911, they'll probably show up after the kid is gone. Because their system is very slow.
Well, again,
it's education.
It is education, but yes, poverty has to, you know, again, many of these severe burns, it's they don't have a good electricity. They don't have, you know, running water, so they're heating it in the fire.
Well, and now we have the whole electric car thing.
Yeah.
You know, electric cars catching fire.
So there's different ways.
All right. And there's different degrees of burns, right? Yes. First degree, second degree, third degree. And the number one thing you want to look out for with burns is infection, dehydration, and nutritional depletion from this person. So let's talk about the first, second, and second degree burns, and third, too. And it also causes scar, disfigurement. And that person will need so much psychological counseling when all this is over. So Quanticum offers all of this.
So, yes, to nutrition, we do have a nutrition department. We do have music therapy, Ellen, because we know how it manages pain, right, when they go there. So we do have the psychology. We do have the... nursing, dermatology, pediatrics. I'm reading them now. Psychology, music therapy, spiritual support, social work. And social work, not just for the kid. This is for the parents who we know that now they're feeling guilty, right? Like, this happened to my child. It happened in front of me. Oh, my gosh. It's my responsibility. It's my fault. Yeah. So we work and we treat the families, too. We have the hospital, school, like I said, and surgery, I cannot say that word. Kinesthesia. I can't say it. Yeah, sorry, guys. In español, ni en español, ni en inglés. Not even in English, not in Spanish. I cannot say that word.
But the advancement that Qualcomm has made, I was reading a little bit about them in regenerative medicine. They improve the outcomes of so many of the burn survivors.
Yes.
And one thing I want to talk about is pain control. Pain is so cultural, right? A lot of those countries, the people, they don't complain when they have pain. And here in the United States, you know, I'm a nurse, and sometimes when a patient is discharged or passed away in hospice or something, we have to get rid of, not me personally, but, you know, someone is designated, one of the higher-ups, to get rid of that pain medication. And it breaks my heart when I think about the Latin American countries and how little they have for pain control. But Qualcomm, they address all of that.
Yes. So either, again, let's say might be through music therapy, also virtual reality. So, you know, especially for the teens, we have this whole new room now where they can go and play and do certain things. It's good for the movement and the recovery, but it also addresses the pain. So, again, I want to, you know, reiterate that they are always at the forefront, right? What is the next best thing that we can do to provide this holistic rehabilitation for this kid? Then we're not leaving anything. And just really quick, to get you to the spirit of Quantiquem, which is our Dr. Rojas, our founder, 47 years ago, he was a young doctor. This burn child came and pretty much he was going to die. He has just listened to this, you know, workshop or some information, some about this changing, transferring skin from a dead person to, you know, to
and
a vermic.
He's still with the company.
He's still the heart and soul of our. And he was there. He had that opportunity. He said, you know what, I'm going to do it. I think he did some illegal stuff to get the skin and whatever, but he did it anyway. And that moment became Quantiquem. And he said, you know, just like this child, we know we can do this. So I say that because it is very good people doing a lot of good work.
He fought to get Quantiquem where it is today.
Yeah.
But you know, I was reading, even here in the United States, we have about 450,000 people who are burned every year. And the burn victims will tell you, coulda, shoulda, woulda. So here, we're all ladies, right? We know what it is to anticipate the need of a person. We know what it is to be careful. The number one way to prevent burns, I think, is to pay attention.
Yeah.
If you're driving and you do that one car length for every 10 miles. Because I was watching how many victims get burned in cars.
So yes.
It's cars. It's
hot coffee coming through a window.
I mean, you know what? Test a baby's bottle. A lot of people get burned with hot food. And they burn their tongue. You know? So, and when I was little, my mom would pour the liquids from one cup to the other.
My gosh, yes. We have such a light parallel.
Similar background,
islands. When you go back to basics, these people were born with these particular traits to help. So what do you think, like, to date, you know, we tell people be careful with your reproductive organs. We tell them to have children you could afford. Be careful who you sleep with. If your kid, the guy doesn't have a house, a job, ambition, no money in the bank,
the whole of the
your
show
kid
now,
will
yeah.
be a child, right? What else can we do to tell young moms about being careful with their newborns? Because that is the education we need to tell people from birth.
So it's being present, but also, again, I became a mom 23 years ago, and I remember not having a lot of information given to me at the hospital.
Right.
There was some basic things, but it was not like, hey.
You're, like, you're sending me home with a human?
Yeah, you're sending me home with a human, you know, and is there little things that I might miss in my, you know, postpartum brain and all the stuff that happens after? So, it, you know what, I think a lot of the many problems in the world
is education.
Right. It's taking that time and it's being present. It's less digested immediate thing and
social
just,
media.
Sitting down to
now you see on TikTok, you'll see people with a baby in their arms and they're stirring a pot trying to get someone to buy whatever they're selling.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Right? But Chronicum, so it's a hospital. So give us like a vision. It's a hospital with how many beds?
It has
specialized care.
Yeah, so it's four different rehabilitation centers. The main one is in Santiago, the capital of Chile. And just also, we don't do the acute emergency right there, right? So they come from
another place,
from the hospital and things like that.
What a blessing it is to have them.
And then they come and then we continue to, you know,
treat
them, yes, and see them and things like that. So, but Casa Abierta, I believe we have 32 rooms, mm-hmm, for the kids that stay with us, you know, again, and this is going to touch, this is going to inspire you, Sita. I know this. I had the honor to spend 2 weeks down in Chile when I started working with them. And I stayed in Casa Abierta. So I stayed with the kids and the parents. And I met this mom, and her son was, I think, about 18. He was older and almost at the end of his treatment. He was going there since he was two. And she said, though, the man that he is right now and the family that we are right now, it's because this experience in Quantum. Mm-hmm. So even in the tragedy, even in the difficulty,
they were able to reach this.
They were able to say, you know, let's look at the other side. We are who we are, and he is who he is because of this experience, and because there was a place like Quantum to walk the journey, you know, along.
Well, V, share with us the website and where people can get the information.
So burnedchildren.org. Is the English website, and there is a link there that will take you to Quantum if you want to see more. On the Quantum page, there's also a video with English subtitles that explain all of this that I'm talking about, the whole model. So again, burnedchildren.org.
Right, and I just want to tell our listeners, you know, we do a lot of shows and we advocate for a lot of things, and people come on to us for fundraising. But this is one of the greatest ones I've had on the show, and I'm so grateful you were able to come, because I don't know if people know this, but about 4,500 people in the United States die from burns and fires every year, making it the fourth leading cause of accidental deaths.
Sita, I know my time is up, but I do want to say, if you do get burned, something simple in your house, nothing that requires 911, or even before you do that, put your burn, let's say, and you know, you burned your hand with, you were cooking a soup, 20 minutes under running cool water.
Yep,
right? That is the first thing and the most important thing you can do. You're trying to stop the cooking of your skin.
That's right.
Before the medical get there. So if I leave you with anything, I leave you with that.
Water. Yeah, we have better work. And also, hot tap water accidents result in a significant number of injuries and fatalities as well. And there's a study that says fire departments responded to frequent structure fires resulting in numerous death and injury. So the bottom line is, you know, before you walk, talk, do anything, hang a picture on the wall, whatever, think before you, right, Ali?
Absolutely.
Think about it. Before you get on that ladder, if it's raining, think about it. I could fall and break my back. Right. You have a baby in your hand, put the baby in the playpen before you get to the stove, right? You go in the swimming pool, who's watching little Johnny? Trade on, trade off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I'm an expert at that because my mother had 18 kids,
yes,
and none of us had a broken
exactly.
body.
Right, exactly.
You know? Are the expert. You should be teaching me.
Yeah, and the thing is, and she, I think the thing that helped the most was even in nursing, they tell you to anticipate the needs of your patients. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right with the cold water. But again, one step to follow up with, if you're in doubt of a burn, you go to a treatment center.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a hospital, mm-hmm, emergency room, you know, whatever, and get something on it right away, mm-hmm, because it can become infected.
Absolutely.
Right?
So thank you so much.
Yeah, and if you get a blister, make sure you take care of it right away. So part of this was sponsored by Michelle A. Lewis. She's a board-certified nurse practitioner specializing in family and psychiatric medicine. She brings over three decades of expertise, a holistic approach, and genuine empathy to every visit, offering in-office appointments, telehealth for adults, and house call services for Brevard County seniors. She's located on Riverview Drive in Melbourne, Florida, and you can find her at michelleaprn.com, or you can call them at 321 412-0577. And we will be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after we hear from the other sponsors we have.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accountant.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. It is sunny today. We're heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online. Hopefully in Chile, people are listening too.
That's right. All over the World Wide Web, yeah. You can get us on all the social media stations on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, we have our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. We share all of our bios as well as the shows and downloads.
That's right. What a great first segment. I just love anything that helps children. And thank you so much, Vin-Marie Monopoly, for being here talking about Quanticum in Chile. Our second segment is with Carolina. And Carolina is going to talk with us about charcuterie boards and cheese. What is it? Cheese boards 321. And you know, I thought about you this weekend because I went to two fundraisers. The first one on Saturday was a benefit here in town, and they had a lot of cheese and fruit and whatnot. And a lot of us at that fundraiser, we were getting pretty sleepy. So I went home and I said, wait a minute, why when you eat cheese you get so sleepy? And there is something in cheese that makes people sleepy. And also they said, it's not a good idea. The wine and cheese, you should have that in the evenings because you will fall asleep during the day. And I thought about you and I said, oh, I should mention that. Because at my table, there were so many women it was for Eckerd Connects, and a few lady were like, oh my God, I'm so sleepy. Then we looked at our plates. We ate all that cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the selection, how you got started with the charcuterie boards, and what made you do this as a business. So give us a little background about yourself and how you got started.
Sure. I'm Carolina, the owner of Cheese Boards 321. I'm here based in Melbourne, and I started, this is not like you start from one day to another one. So I started this back during COVID time. I was not in business, but I was creating. For all those 8 months, I was creating and giving my charcuterie boards to all my friends, neighbors, everybody who got sick, birthday. We couldn't see each other. So I was And my husband say that hobby of you is coming very expensive. And I'm like, fine, you know, I'm going to start selling this. And that's how I started 8 months later. So my creativity, it's not a something that I build from one day to another one. So I start looking for, you know, names, and I came with the name Cheeseports 321 because we're in Brevard County, and my website, and that's how everything started.
Expensive hobby. And, you know, we've talked about taking your talent, gift, and ability and turning it into a profit. I am proud of you.
Thank
because
you.
The friends will continue to take it for free. Trust me. Yeah, and it's expensive. How do you choose what goes on the board?
Well,
do you have to have a background from that person? Like, some people are vegetarians.
Some people really ask me, I don't eat pork. So I just put more cheese and fruits, and we just add. And I do have turkey sausage. So they don't eat. I mean, for some people who don't eat pork, yeah. I have the turkey sausage, and I have all others. And some people don't want meat, but they're very few. Everybody wants a little bit of everything. So the way you combine your boards is just with texture, colors, different, the fruits. I mean, you put everything together and make it look beautiful. It's not just like throwing everything on the board. So it's and one of my specialties that I bring cheese all over around the world. I have a wholesale account with different companies.
Yeah, we saw a lot of cheese in Amsterdam.
Yes. Actually, that batch that I have there. Henry cheese is from there.
Yeah. And Allie's shaking her head.
Oh, yeah. Amsterdam's great.
Yes.
Great dairy stuff.
They do.
Yes.
So what is your process? Because it has to be a process to start selecting what goes on every board. Do you start like a list of what the customer wants, or do you have something?
Because I have a variety of cheese, and it comes by season. So I don't want to stick with the same cheeses every for the whole year. So I source my cheeses from all around the world. Like I said, I have creameries also in the United States, and that's not easy to establish either. I mean, that took more than a year, knocking at the doors and having connections in order to buy and all this cheese around the world, and also
awesome.
You have to spend a lot of money too.
That's right.
Because you don't, you're not going to.
Yeah, there's minimums everybody shipping. Shipping and all of
and
that.
And shipping, especially, yes, it's costly. It has to be refrigerated from one day to another one. I mean, so it's like,
Now, do you do any workshops and things like that?
I do workshops, and actually there's one coming up June 24 in Madeline Rose Boutique in Ogali District. And that's going to be that one's almost sold out. I think we only have like 5 seats left. But there's another one coming up in June 30 in the Planchak in Coco. Mm-hmm. And we have another one coming up in July 12 in Vieira and Les Planted. And I go all over the place. So I'm going to Port St. Lucie also in July 12. So if you check my website, you're going to see the list of the workshops that I have.
Yeah. And the website is?
Cheeseports321.com.
Yes, and they're also great Facebook and great pictures on Facebook.
It's beautiful. Yeah, and you know what? It's so inspiring to hear some, because Ellen is always talking to people, and we both do, about starting your own business, taking your passion and turning it into profit. And you look like you had a lot of support from, number one, your husband.
Yes.
And your friends.
Yes.
And who are normally your clients? Where do you find the clients for your charcuterie board?
My clients are mostly from social media, I will say. Also word of mouth. I do a lot of networking. I'm a member of different organizations as well, like the Brevard Wedding Expo, the Bombay Chamber, Accelerated Brevard, and Women of the Space Coast, and also I help a lot of nonprofit organizations when they have their auctions. So I give them raffles, and that's, I have a lot of exposure as well in that way too.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of people that they want to do something, and they say, oh, I want to do so and so, but they don't really get started in it, but you did. And what do you see in the future for charcuterie cheese boards 321? Are you going to expand into other areas? And you know, like when she was talking about Latin America, my mind was turning.
Oh, actually, I've done a workshop in Honduras.
Yeah, those are places that, you know, we talk about a lot about education and communication, right? Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be wonderful to give back to the place that you left and came to the U.S. and teach those people how to do it as well?
Oh, yes.
When you read about the history of charcuterie, it started out as a way of just preserving meat and cheese for peasants and the people in villages in the 15th and 16th century.
Interesting.
Yeah, and here you are doing it for here us here in Brevard and showing us. I mean, it does make an addition on a table.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And that's what I like, the connection. When I prepare my boards and my grazing tables, that's what I like, people smiling and the wow effect. When they go, actually, Helen was in one of my grazing tables recently.
Yes.
And it's like that's, and the connection of people walking around and enjoying the food, enjoying the colors, and just admiring that, you know, grazing table that could be any from 6 feet all the way to 10 feet. I've done 10 feet tables. I've done 250 people charcuterie grazing tables. So I've done like three tables of 8 feet. So we're talking about 24 feet.
I've seen a lot of charcuterie, and I've been to a lot of networking events and so forth, and being at that one.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, do you have a signature style or something that people recognize that it's you?
Because I believe I think so too. People, when they see my charcuterie board, immediately they say, I knew it was you, or they say, oh, I went at this event and it wasn't you, because they recognize my style. It's a stamp, I guess. It, my creativity, it's a stamp.
Your face lights up when you're talking about it, so I can tell you're different, right?
Yes. It's the creativity, and it's also the staging, the way that you stage it. Yes. And I've never seen at that event that we were at on this last week, I never saw anybody stage it so beautifully.
Yes, and
like
I have.
The way you have.
My problem with the charcuterie boards is I don't want to touch it because it's so pretty.
Yes.
And I walk around and I wait to see, right, who's going to be the first
to touch the art.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's once like I art. See the piece of cheese gone, I'm in. But here's the thing. A lot of people have events and they think they can do their own boards and then they're like, oh, God, I can't. Now, you need time in order to prepare these boards.
Yes.
So how much time do they need before an event to put in place an order?
Well, if I'm not busy, I can even do it within 48 hours, let's say. I mean, in advance, if you tell me in order to prepare. But I mean, I can, if it's something small, and when I say small, it could be 50 people. To me, that's nowadays is small because I'm so fast doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all this time, that you can give me 24 hours, and if I'm available, I can just do it. Yes.
Yeah. And we've been to parties before where they're teaching people how to do a charcuterie board. And they give you like a tiny little board to take home and stuff
that.
So you do that as well?
Not exactly. There's different styles. Like usually the people who buy to go, like delivery of for pickup, they are in a bamboo board, a disposable bamboo board. But when we do the grazing tables, we do in a wooden board.
Gotcha.
Yes. And there's different, like you say, the presentation, there's different styles presentation that I do. So I do the multi-level ones, all the one that Helen wants was like big boards all across the table, and we do it different levels.
So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, we're speaking with Carolina, and she is the owner of Cheese Boards 321. And it is amazing when you go to her website and you see the kind of creativity this woman possesses. It is absolute. It's so beautiful. Like, you don't want to eat the charcuterie board stuff, even though you are there to eat it. Give us your website one more time.
Cheeseboards321.com.
So give our listeners a list of some of the variety of things you have on the board. Because often we see cheese. What else is there on that board?
Oh, yeah. We have different type of meats like salami, Coca-Cola, hot Coca-Cola, pepperoni, prosciutto, of course. And I do have other salami, like the red wine salami.
Delicious.
It's very good. We have some salami that are made of veggies. I don't remember the name right now, but yes. And so there's different type of salami, not only, you know, the regular that you buy in the supermarket. Yes.
And you have some dried fruit on there,
dried
too.
Dried fruits we put, yeah.
That's very, we in the Persian community,
yeah.
They love dates
we put
and
dates.
Raisins
yeah.
And all that kind of stuff.
We put dates, dry orange, dry mangoes. Mm. Apricots. I mean, you yeah. have all this variety of colors.
Okay, well, I was just gonna say, you know, I've been to parties where all they had was the charcuterie uh-huh. board. Uh-huh. And if you're lucky and the people have like a loaf of bread, you could take that and make yourself a nice
sandwich. Oh yeah, you can make a nice sandwich. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
I love charcuterie.
Yeah, and now you know, my husband is from Iran and the Iranian women love to decorate. Like in the Caribbean, I know about you, but you know, we're lucky we have a pot on a stove. You make your chicken and your rice and everybody eat, right? But for some reason my Iranian friends, they are so meticulous about their rice. It's decorated. They make charcuterie boards like every day with their food, you know, and it's like amazing that some cultures, they take the time to do that. Would you say that you inherited your creativity from your parents, or was it something that as a child, as a young girl, you just did on your own?
I think I really like the creativity. When I was going to college, my degree was going to be interior design, but then I changed it to business. But I used to play guitar. I used to paint too, and I still like painting. So I think my
that side of your brain,
my
works.
Side of that brain, still there. You know,
that's awesome.
And how does it feel, Carolina, that you took a leap of faith and you opened this business and you're inspiring so many of us, including Danny? He, look at him. He runs a charcuterie board right now. He take that home to his wife and she'll be nice to him for a whole week.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, how does it feel? Because, you know, a lot of us, you know, like people say, I want to write a book. They don't write the book. You know, they say, I want to open a nonprofit. They don't do it. But you, here you are, yes. You're taking these gifts to your friends on different yes. occasions and getting all these compliments. And you said, you know what, I'm going to turn this
yes.
into a business.
After 20 years in the insurance business, corporate world, you know, I decide that I want to do this business. So it's never too late, you know, to start a business. It doesn't matter your age. As long as you're committed, you know, and you have, you present yourself every day and you inspire yourself also. It's never too late to
start
business.
Can you put hot food on it or it's all
no, cold food, everything.
So no curry food. Chicken and rice.
That's no. That's another catering.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's so catering. Yeah. You know, but you know what?
But people are using this for weddings and
yes,
networking events and every type of
yes,
party.
I'm doing corporate events too. I'm doing one in Orlando, one of the big malls in Orlando. I don't know if I can mention the name, but I'm doing one.
Yeah,
I'm doing mall, right? Simon Outlet Mall this
weekend. Well, you know,
weekend.
One of the nice things about us here on Viewport with Sita and Friends, we encourage all our friends and our listeners to come on the show, and we give them a platform to talk about their business, their nonprofit, a book they're writing, a business that they opened, creativity, because that's our goal, is to leave a better planet behind when we leave planet Earth. And what you're doing is so amazing. Now, can you give classes, like say if a child is having a birthday party, a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old?
Oh, yes, I've done it.
Because I think you would be perfect when my granddaughter
oh,
has a
yes.
birthday.
Oh, yes, and we have safe knives, like for the kids that, you know, that, yes.
Well, she's 17.
So. Oh, no, she knows how to use the knife then.
And talk to us about, like, when there's a wedding and there's a charcuterie board and people should be admiring the bride and the groom, but they're actually looking at this
yes.
table.
Yes, they are, you know.
Right, Allie? They're probably going
there. Oh, yeah, that's primary. Yeah.
Nobody wants to touch the board because it's so beautiful.
Yes, all my weddings have been very successful, thank God. All the, you know, the brides and the grooms are very happy with the results. And I'm like I say, I put a lot of cheese from, and that's the talk about it. Like, wow, this is a lemon honey cheese. I've never tried before. This is the apricot cheese. You know, it's
and
the
what
bacon
happens
cheese.
With the stuff in the end when people don't eat them? Do they give it to charity or people take it home?
They take it home. Actually, some some of the guests, like the one that I was with Ellen last week. Some of the guests, I usually bring my, you know, to-go boxes, and I give it to
that
the owner.
That is a plus. So you have a question. Go
for it. Well, two things, Sita. I was going to say, weddings, if it's a Latin wedding, now they take the food instead of taking the centerpiece that everybody used to fight about taking, you know, all the stuff from the centerpiece. Now you can take food.
The boxes are
the boxes. Yes. I usually ask, you know, the person, what do you want to do with the leftover? Because I can, I have to throw it away. I'm not taking anything. I put it in the garbage right now. Yeah.
But what I wanted to tell her it, and the people listening about your point of, you know, a lot of people dream about doing something. It starts there, but as you've heard Carolina, she's done, she's committed, she did the work, right? She's knocking on the door.
Right.
So I think it's understanding that it's fantastic to find something that aligns with your values and your passion, but know that, you know, you have to, where your energy goes, it grows, right? So it's going to take that time.
And we appreciate it. Yeah. That's the most, you know, important thing of all. Thank you. Whatever you're doing, it's a service to us. Because we can't do it. Like, I can't put no charcuterie board. I was giving you a plate. Here's your chicken and your rice. Go for it.
Delicious, though.
Thank you. But so give us your 30-second speech. I mean, you know there's a lot of young people that want to do something. And they're sitting on their behinds and they're like, I want to paint. Or I want to open a business. Or I want to start creativity and do weddings and plan weddings or show. And they don't do it. What would you tell them?
It's never too late to start. Like I say, I started this after 20 years in my insurance business. I decided to start the business, but they have to be persistent, constant, be there. Don't get down. Sometimes you're going to have very slow day, very... So celebrate, even when you have only 10 followers with you, just celebrate that. I start with zero followers. Now I'm almost 1,000, but imagine it has taken me 3 years. So it's not a, it's been a slow process.
Carolina, would you go to, like to a different state if somebody came up and said, hey, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars to fly to a different state or a different part of Florida and set up this chart? Because your charcuterie boards are a work of art and creativity that everyone needs to see.
Yes.
Would you go to different parts of the state as well?
Of the state, yes. I've gone to Miami, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, and Port St. Lucie too. And so I travel in Florida.
You buy everything fresh in those cities, or you take some things with you?
Yeah, I take everything fresh. Yeah. I have professional catering coolers, and I take, you know, it's only like, you know, we're in the middle of Florida. It's like 4 or 5 hours drive. Mm-hmm. And my coolers last a long time, more than 4 hours.
And based on the clients, you know, we have special crackers in the Caribbean. And Vin Marie could tell you that. We got some really good crackers. Do you get crackers, too, from the Caribbean and other parts of the...
No, actually, I just want one cracker that some people like it, some people don't like it. It's like they're baked crackers and they have flowers. Like us, like dry flowers.
There's one in Trinidad that people like to soak in their tea. It's called Crix. And it's excellent for cheese. I mean, it's really good. Now, on your boards, tell me, you put a little piece of bread sometimes?
I don't put bread because it gets soggy very fast.
So
very
you put it on the side.
Stale,
if somebody wants.
But I put a lot of crackers, and I like using a lot of baked crackers.
Yes, so
because
they
don't
get
bread.
Yeah, so that's filling. It's filling.
Yeah. They don't get, you know, stale.
Yeah.
As the normal crackers.
Wow. Just the thought of it is making everybody hungry.
Well, and you think about businesses like yours, Carolina, and don't think small. Think big. Like, you'll be franchising. You know, it took you 3 years to get to here.
Maybe you
may, just because of your workshops and the things that you've done with the workshops, you'll find more and more people that want to be in partnership with you.
Oh, that would be great.
And be able to do things like that. So I'm so excited for you.
We're going to talk to Dr. Is it Rojas?
Dr. Rojas.
Dr. Rojas should contact you and have you make a huge charcuterie board, maybe once or twice or thrice or four times a year for the children and their families.
We do have board members here in Florida, in Washington, in California.
Yes, we'll have a party. We'll have a party.
In Georgia, so we definitely can always collaborate.
Yes. I love you know.
It was a fun show.
What I like.
Thank you for what both of you are doing. Vin Marie, for what you're doing with the balloon.
Thank you.
And you too. My God, I'm so glad you came on the show.
I know. You did another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're going to share all of this great information on our websites and all our social media platforms. You'll see it on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and SitaMediaInc.com. Once again, tune in each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 1510 WWBC for the best in community radio.
Oh, yes. Well, you got a new line there, girl.
I do this.
I like it. You better write it down.